We come to this text tonight, verse 14, this question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? I talked this week with our Kerry radio manager, and I had a short breakfast with him on Thursday morning as I took a CD that they urgently needed, and I didn't really want to have all the hassle of going over the border and fighting the traffic down and fighting all the traffic back up. So I sort of hooked up with the manager when he comes up on his weekly pickup in White Rock, and we went to breakfast together. And I discovered that he is very much into astronomy. When he was at school, he really liked physics and then went to one of these hobby clubs and really got into the whole matter of astronomy. He drives a Subaru car, which he told me is Japanese for the constellation Pleiades, which is a part of that constellation of Taurus. And you can see, if you ever see a Subaru car, they'll have these number of stars, I think it's seven of them, around the name Subaru on the car. Now, he pointed out to me something very interesting, that in all the galaxies and constellations and all of space, there are more stars or planets. And I must say, I haven't truly worked out what the difference is between a planet and a star. I asked a few people this, and they weren't able to tell me. And there are more planets in the universe and beyond and beyond and beyond than there are people on earth. And that makes us to realize just how in God's sight, each one of us is treated so special in the very eyes of God. I want you to think tonight of the scope of this text. Is anything too hard for the Lord? The creation of a world, the creation of a human body. Is anything too hard for the Lord? To Abram and Sarah, it was the bringing forth of a child in their old age when, naturally speaking, it was impossible. We have really a very small view of God from our perspective. We think so little of His great power, of His wisdom, and of His design in building His church. Now, tied into this power of God was the whole scheme of promising to Abraham a son from whom would come the whole lineage of our Lord Jesus, and of through whom, of course, would be born the whole church of our Lord Jesus brought to God. So in this promise of a son, there is covenanted or promised the fullness of a multitude of souls that would be gathered into glory. Now, at the beginning of this new year, we take stock of what we are about in the gospel work here in this country of Canada. We look at the whole scheme of the work of God in this nation. And we do well tonight to consider, what is God's purpose and what is God's plan as we go about preaching the gospel in this land? And we want to look at this text tonight, is anything too hard for the Lord, in light of building the Lord's church here in Canada. Now, that's our interest because this is where the Lord has placed us. Whatever the providential background and cords and threads that have brought you to this part of the world, maybe it was with your parents or you were born here. Here you are and here I am. And the Lord has us in this church as a gospel witness in this city to declare the everlasting grace of our Savior. We stand at the threshold of another year. And as God is giving us time, we wonder, what is He pleased to do? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And of course the question really is Canada too hard for the Lord? That's really this question as it relates to us tonight in the work of the gospel in this land. First of all, we need to consider here the deadness of the womb of Canada. That really was Sarah's problem. She considered it an impossibility because her womb was dead. She thought it couldn't happen that she would have a son in her old age. So do we in Canada. We look upon this nation as so ungodly. It's never really been a nation that has known great revivals. It's been a nation that has had a hodgepodge of religious confusion, and that seems to be growing at a tremendous rate. And however you cut the cake, we have to say that Canada is a very difficult land to reach for the gospel. It's a vast land of a diverse people, a land that is filled with religious confusion, a land of great materialism and prosperity. We are one of the most desirable countries in the world that people want to live. That's why so many people emigrate here. We don't debate that. We don't counter that. But when it comes to bringing the gospel and telling men and women that they need the Lord Jesus, it does make it somewhat more difficult. And this difficulty of bringing the gospel to Canada, it sort of represents the deadness of the womb. And the question is, are we ever going to see sinners converted, a church built, revival come to this nation that will bring it into, as you may have read in our Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, those days of great reformation, power, and grace? So we have to ask this question, is anything too hard for the Lord? And as we think of the deadness of the womb of Canada, is the depravity of men in Canada too hard for the Lord? Human depravity is a fearful thing. And the more we go on in God's work and the more we grow as Christians, the more we're convinced that men are totally depraved. One of the first points in Reformed doctrine, total depravity. It's not that people just have a little band-aid problem, but that they are totally corrupt from head to toe. But are Canadians more depraved than other lands that either are now yet heathen or once were heathen lands, where missionaries have gone and the gospel has had great success and power, and those nations have been turned around and brought to great blessing? Revival was given by the Holy Ghost. Is Canada beyond that and too hard for the Lord? Even those who are of British descent ought to remember that our ancestors in the land of the British Isles were once idolaters, serving all kinds of heathen idols. In Scotland stood the Temple of Mars. In Cornwall, the Temple of Mercury. In Bangor, Wales, the Temple of Minerva. In Maldon, the Temple of Victoria. In Bath, the Temple of Apollo. In Leicester, the Temple of Janus. At York, where Peter's now stands, the Temple of Bellona. In London, on the site of St. Paul's Cathedral, stood the Temple of Diana, the very same heathen goddess that was worshipped in the Minor Asia. And here was a nation that was once steeped in heathenism and idolatry. And yet in the grace of God and in the power of the gospel, through the preaching of the word, that land was reached. And for many hundreds of years, God gathered out thousands and thousands and thousands of people for His own name and for His glory. Is the depravity of Canada too hard for the Lord? Now, I like this text because I don't have to answer it. This is one of those self-answering questions. It is inconceivable that anything is too hard for the Lord, no matter what it is. The one who is the creator of the universe, hangs the world at nothing, gives us the sun that shines by day, the moon that shines by night, who created these human bodies of ours, gave us life. Is anything too hard for Him? Is the diversity of Canadians too hard for the Lord? We are heading to a pluralistic, multicultural society more and more. There are so many various traditions and religions in this country. We have the rise of Islam, which for all the wrong reasons is drawing great attention. And I know in the U.S. it has been well documented that it is, even in the United States, the fastest growing religion in that country. In certain parts of Canada, certainly growing very fast. And it may shift the whole dynamics of the population of this country and its very fiber and moral values, and certainly how this nation is to be perceived as Christian or not. Is this country too hard for the Lord? Are there those that have come from other religions that can't be reached with the gospel? Are the difficulties in our churches, unique to Canada, too hard for the Lord? The lack of manpower is certainly one thing that we face in our Free Presbyterian Church. We have right now in our theological training college one student, Canadian student that is. There are other American students there, but we have one Canadian student, Mike Yatnan from Toronto. He's the only one that is in the pipeline to come forward to either take on a church or to assist in a church or to pioneer a new church. We have John Baker, of course, up in Lacombe, but he's American. And his dilemma is that he married a Canadian. It seems to be working well, but where the Lord may place them, we don't know. So manpower is certainly a great difficulty that we see. We need to see out of all of our churches, young men called, definitely called, with deep conviction to prepare themselves for the gospel ministry. Can this happen? Then there's lack of finances. We have churches scraping the barrel every month. We're a rich church in comparison to some of them. We're a church that gets it so easy in comparison. The Lord has provided marvelously in this congregation, as I made reference to this morning. We marvel at the giving of God's people in this church. But we have congregations that find it very difficult either to pay the mortgage on a building, pay their minister, advertise, even think about taking on a radio broadcast as getting the outreach from their church beyond their church walls. They have to be very, very frugal. And of course, many sacrifices are already being made. But it's a long struggle. And of course, anyone is prepared to make any kind of sacrifices for a year or two. But when it goes to 5 years and 10 years and maybe 15 years, it becomes very, very difficult. Then, of course, we may ask, in this country of Canada, there's such a lack of truth and orthodoxy. We're trying to reach people that have no background of the gospel, that have no idea of what the gospel is about. Ecumenism is no longer just unique to the mainline churches. Ecumenism now is affecting nearly every evangelical church. There is this tendency to be inclusive. Let's get together. Let's break down the barriers. Let's give up being distinct. Let's give up the distinctives of what was uniquely our tradition or our gospel or our doctrine. Let's break all that down and dissimulate and bring in whatever it takes to make us to be one. What I really perceive, and we're going to reap the whirlwind of this, we're already reaping the whirlwind of it. There has now for a generation been a gospel of easy believism proclaimed to young people. And they have been told that to be a Christian, there's no need to sacrifice. There's no need for hardship. It's all easy. And they put on their rosy spectacles and they see only nice things ahead of them as a Christian. And then when they are called to make sacrifice for the gospel's sake, young people have no idea of it. They have no thought that what it's going to take to serve the Lord. And so there are very few that either give themselves or will give of their means and time and effort to take the gospel to either this nation or beyond it. We have also the great difficulty of indifference in this land. We all fight that in every corner of Canada. Whether it's over there in Fredericton, where Tony Dodono is ministering. His burden at the week of prayer was that he has a great many welfare people coming to his church. They will come and receive anything that you hand out to them. But his wife has to work many long hours per day each week to keep them there in that church. And if she wasn't willing to make that sacrifice, there would be no church in Fredericton. And that means that those that come and they will contribute next to nothing to the work of God, but they'll take everything that's given to them. And it's his wife that's making the major sacrifice in the life of the church. Ought not to be so. Ought not to have to be that way. That ought to be only a temporary thing that a pioneer minister and his wife is willing to do at the early stage of a ministry. How we need to pray that in this year that the Lord will get that church turned around and get those people working and contributing. Is anything too hard for the Lord? These are challenges. The indifference, the careless attitude. When we take the gospel to men and women, they say, well, we're living in a land of great liberties, and you can be a free Presbyterian, you can be a Christian, you can love the Lord, you can do what you want with your Bible, but just don't bother me. That's usually the attitude you face. You get the odd nasty character that wants to slam the door in your nose. But most people will just say, well, thank you. That's it. Indifferent. Yet we have to ask, is anything too hard for the Lord? Then there are those, especially intellectual type people, will rationalize this. We're living in the post-Christian era. We're living in the time when people have heard the gospel to the point of saturation. They've rejected it and turned away from it, and now people don't want to go back to orthodox, godly Christianity. We're living in the post-Christian era, and God is never again going to send revival blessing to a nation like that. We have to answer the question, is anything too hard for the Lord? And however we look at Canada, we may ask, what are we doing here preaching the gospel to a country and a people that don't want it? When we could be in Jamaica or Africa or Kenya, where there's people hungry for the Word of God. Is anything too hard for the Lord as we seek to take the gospel to men and women in this country? Surely the Lord would have us to serve Him with all our hearts and answer this question in relation to the womb that appears to be so dead and so dry and so barren. And we may laugh, but is anything too hard for the Lord? Your friends, your neighbors, your family, is anyone too hard for the Lord? Then comes the decree of God's work in Canada. Did you ever think about this? That there has gone out a decree from the throne of God concerning this nation. Now this promise of a son to Abram was a forerunner of God's whole scheme of grace redeeming the church of Jesus Christ. Through Abram would come the Savior. Through the faith of Abram would come forth a seed, as many as the stars. And this was a decree to build his church and to save his people out of all the nations. And such was the magnitude of this work of redemption that our Lord Jesus undertook, that in the councils of eternity, when God the Father proposed that His Son would leave heaven's glory and come down into this earth and become the Savior of men by living for them and dying for them and saving them by His power, the Lord Jesus said, I will go under one condition. The Son said, this is such an undertaking that if I am to carry it out, I must have put into my hands the most absolute, unrestricted, and unchallenged power over all those whom Thou hast given me. Great and small, all that have any influence over them, I must have it in my hands. In what age of the world's history they will be born, who their forefathers will be, I must have power over all flesh. I must have the rule of the nations, kings, parents, school teachers, books and their authors, churches and their preachers. I must have authority in the air, in the land, and in the sea. I must have the keys to every heart and control every good and evil. I must be able to say, all power is given unto me. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And it was so. Into the hands of the Lord Jesus was given the power over all flesh, that He would save a people out of every nation, people, and tongue. And that also applies to Canada. Canada is in the decree of the Redeemer's work of calling out His church and His people out of the nation. He is the rightful Lord and King of this great dominion. This dominion does not belong to Allah. Doesn't belong to the Mormon. Doesn't belong to the confusion of religion. Does this land not belong to Christ and His kingdom? All its borders from sea to sea, its prairies, its Rockies, its cities, its peoples are His. And thus we must labor in this new year with this motto, Christ for Canada and Canada for Christ. That's the missionary spirit. That's the missionary's view. And while Satan seeks to be the god of this world and he seeks to take side shots and side swipes at the work of the gospel, we are able to answer this question, is anything too hard for the Lord? Not when we consider the decree of His work. And with missionary confidence, let us claim this land for the Lord Jesus. Canada for Christ. Let us take the helm and steer the gospel ship right into the hearts of men famishing in their need of the gospel. Let us plead all the power of our living Redeemer, for He has all power given unto Him. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And lastly, there is the Christian's delight in God's word for Canada. The Christian's delight. You'll notice that Sarah laughed, and it was a laugh at first in sport, but it was later turned into gladness. Now, sadly, there are many even professing Christians who laugh at those that take the work of the gospel seriously. They frown and scorn when we take to the work like servants of the King. They smirk at first when they hear the expeditions and the labors and the sacrifice that men and women make to take the gospel to sinners. But when unbelief is turned to faith in the promises of the gospel, that laughter of scorn will be turned to joy. William Carey, when he said that he was going to leave the shores of England and take the gospel to India, was laughed at. He has become known as the father of modern missions. The Lord put a burden in his heart and a vision for that nation that was so ungodly and so unreached that today there are more Christians in the land of India than there are in the land of England. Can you get a grip of that? There are more Christians in India. Of course, they have a billion population of a billion people. But through the missionary work of many godly missionaries, there are more Christians in that land than in the land of England today. And that's a shame on England, but it's a great testimony to the missionary vision of men like William Carey. When George Whitefield went preaching and the doors were closed to him, wasn't even allowed to preach in the graveyard of the church, had to stand outside the walls of the church property and preach in the fields. His message was despised. But historians all agree that through the preaching ministry of the Wesleys and Whitfield, that England was spared the revolution that France saw at that time, because they believed in the power of God's Word. What are the promises that we have for Canada? The Lord says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That applies to this nation too. The Lord says that in the last day He will raise it up and lose nothing. And if we had time, we'd look into that text and see that everyone for whom Christ died, everyone that was ordained to eternal life, everyone will be gathered into glory. On that resurrection day, everyone will be raised up and not one will be lost. That's great confidence to the gospel preacher and the gospel church. Because as we go about God's work, God will build His church. We're told in Isaiah, my word shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that to which I send it and prosper in the thing which I please. God's word will not return void. God has a purpose in it and a plan in it. And from sea to sea, as we try to get the gospel out in this country of Canada, and I thank the Lord for the endeavors and the sacrifices of people in this church as we take on radio broadcasts in Manitoba and Saskatchewan and up there in Prince Rupert. And we're going to be praying in our prayer meetings this week about the future of these programs. How we need plead this promise, my word shall not return unto me void. Then there's Revelation 6, that Christ shall go forth conquering and to conquer. Shall He not do that in this nation as well as any other nation in the world? Shall China and Russia, where souls are being converted today, have precedence over Canada in the reigning of our Lord? The promises that Christ shall come again, does that not apply to Canadians as well as other nations? And then the promise in Jude 24 that the Lord Jesus will present us faultless before the Father. Is that not something that we can plead as Canadians and preach to the nation all around us and the people around us? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I leave this text with you tonight. There's only one way to answer it, no matter what difficulty you raise. And if the Lord promises it, He's going to do it. Whether it is building His church, the resurrection day, presenting men to the Father in glory, He's going to do it. Now I want to bring you back here to the text in Genesis 18:14. After this answer, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee. The time appointed. Now, poor Sarah and Abraham must have been very much demented, because for at least 13 years now they had the promise of a son. But until now there was no son being born. And they were growing older. And if I could put it very simply, Sarah's womb was growing more and more barren. Humanly speaking, it was more and more unlikely, more and more impossible that Sarah should have a child in her old age. And as time was going on, it would seem that it was becoming hopeless. And the darker the time came, the closer they were coming to God's appointed time. And with this hope for our nation, we need to wait on the Lord. And while we have been laboring and sowing and planting and praying and calling on God that He might give us a breath of revival and grant many conversions and adding to His church in this land, there's going to be God's appointed time when He will work and He will build His church. We seem to live in a society in which we have less and less hope that it will ever be turned around. Politically, things are going backward. In the education system of schools, we see things going backward. The decline in church attendance, in church life, in the preaching of the gospel, the multitude of spurious gospels and religious confusion that's growing in this land. We say more and more, the womb is becoming more barren. But there's going to be an appointed time when God will break through in grace and visit this land and give us a time of reviving. Now, Sarah and Abram had to believe God. And we're told in Romans 4 that Abram staggered not at the promise of God, even though the deadness of his body, believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. I wonder tonight, does the Lord answer your questions about the future of God's work? Maybe you're here tonight in a cold state, in a backslidden state. Maybe you're here tonight very disillusioned about what God's going to do with His church, or even what He's going to do with this church, what the future is for this little band of Christians in Cloverdale. And you're wondering, is there any future? Well, our hope is in the greatness of our God, and the God who hangs the stars in the universe, and who has more stars in the universe than people. Is anything too hard for Him? Is our praying in vain? Is our preaching in vain? Is our expenditure on the gospel in vain? Is anything too hard for the Lord? When you can say an absolute yes to that, then give up. Give up. Don't ever go to church again. Don't ever read the Bible again. Don't ever tell anyone you're a Christian again. If you can say, yes, there's something too hard for the Lord, then we have no right to preach this gospel. We have no right to be taking this Bible and preaching it, because God has lost His power. But while God lives and while He's on His throne and His word is true, let us have every confidence that we labor not in vain. Therefore, brethren, let us labor, for we labor not in vain. It's not a vain thing to wait on the Lord. It's not a useless thing. As God in His grace visits His church and demonstrates His power and opens the womb, brings forth, as He promised to Abram, a multitude, sons as many as the sand or the stars. And how God has fulfilled that down through the history of nations. And then the gospel promise of our Lord Jesus. These two things have to be linked together. What God promised to Abram and what the Lord Jesus promised, that this gospel will be preached to every nation and every tribe. Then comes the end. In other words, God will not wrap up the affairs of this world until every tribe of people and every nation and tongue has heard the gospel. And that's the work that we're about. As I say, we're in Canada. And while we pray for missionaries, this is where we're called to labor. And we've got peoples of all kinds all around us that need the gospel. But let us labor in hope, with prayer, with faith. And let us not, like Sarah at first, who laughed and scorned, but let our unbelief be turned to belief. Is there any one person too hard for the Lord? Is there someone here tonight and you're too sinful for the Lord? Too sinful and too wicked, too rebellious, too hardened of heart, that the Lord can't save your soul and change your heart and give you a new life in Christ? Is anything too hard for the Lord? As you may be cast down, despairing, wondering, what's the future? What's the hope? Christ is your hope. The gospel is your hope. The power of God is your hope. And if we were to turn to the Psalms, like the Psalm 46, God is our refuge in trouble and strength in trouble. What hope God brings when you answer this question? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Let's take that into this new year of 2002. Let's take it as we serve the Lord and as we unite together as Christians in this church to pray, to witness, and take the gospel. Let me remind you again of the challenge of this morning. A few people may not have been here this morning, that we have these magazines, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly. Content of this is A1, and I would like to challenge every person here, younger and older, to take 3 copies. Don't just throw them at someone's doorstep. But knock the door, hand them in and say, look, here's something I'd like to loan to you. Can't give it to you, but I'd like to loan it to you. No cost. And I'll come back in a week or two and I'll pick it up. And then at that time you seek your opportunity to ask, well, did you enjoy what you read? That will be a great opportunity to begin a little witness in the year to come. You choose the people to go to. You pray about it. And pray that as you hand it in, that the Lord will speak through the articles of this magazine. The graphics, the layout, the substance of the articles are just very readable. And we can only pray the Lord will give an interest and use that to some hearts. Just three copies. What a witness you could be this week, in this month ahead, as we seek to take the gospel to men and women. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Let's unite in prayer and close tonight in a prayer.